Well, if you have any thoughts or comments, is the Lord ruminating, or, you know, for me, it's just a reflection on what we all hopefully are learning gradually and coming more and more to accept this as our lot in terms of what God is doing in us in the school of Christ. So if we're in the school of Christ, then we're here to learn Christ, Ephesians chapter 4. You know, we can learn about Christ. That would be kind of the old covenant way of looking at things. But to actually learn Christ and to hear Christ and to live as Christ, like Paul said, there has to be some transition out of what we are by nature in the first Adam into what he has become in resurrection as the perfected and glorified second man. So anyone have any thoughts or questions about what we've heard today?
Well, I think this was real encouraging to me today, because it's a truth I've known before, but it's like so amazing how you can get off track and it gets all centered on what's going on around us, how that affects me, how that affects others, and really just to that outside of Christ, his very life and just flowing through me, there is nothing I have. And you know, I was thinking about, like, in my growing up, how much of, I mean, this initial salvation, you all heard me saying this before, initial salvation, yeah, all grace. And then it's like, after that, it's like so much focus on things, like, as far as, like, what is modest or what isn't, you know, the length of the dress, the length of sleeves, or certain colors are taboo, or certain, you know, it's just, and it's like that gets so deeply ingrained that it's a legalism that even to this day I find myself getting hung up on those things. And I think one time you guys told me a long time ago, maybe even while we were still in Oklahoma, Lori, I think, told me how, you know, did you know that Jesus did nothing out of himself to turn those loaves and fishes into what they were to feed all those people? It took God. He didn't do that independent. It was not just out of himself. And I had never, ever thought about that before. And it's such a good reminder because, you know, I mean, we know, I mean, we're put in situations here that we know we can't go on outside of Christ, you know. And yet, there's that little sneaky self that likes to sneak in there, you know, and just to kind of get sidetracked and to get right back center focus in who Christ is. And it's not my emotions, and I really appreciate that emphasis. Now, you know, we women especially, we're emotional creatures and so forth, but that is not the defining criteria for everything. So, and to my little sister Alexandra, you know, I would just say, I remember the days when Doug would have to do just what he did this morning. Wait a minute, let's get back into the Word. Let's get centered on the Word. You know, that's legalism. This is, and so it's, this is, we've all had to walk this out, and we are still walking it. I think till the day we die, there's deeper levels that we have to come into the reality, because as we get older and have more knowing, God requires more of us, and so it's like we just have to ever grow into deeper levels in God of trust in the Father, and knowing that unless he does something in us, we are not going to be able to do it. And when we try to, we get pulled up short real fast, like, okay, I tried to do that out of myself. I can see that now looking back. And that was pretty costly. I don't want to do that again, you know. So really, really appreciated the emphasis this morning, and just really encouraged me after the week that we've gone through just to find center, which is in Christ.
When you said that Paul was not self-focused, and I think there was something else too. When you know he said, "I must decrease and he must increase," you know, to me that's something that you don't even know is happening.
That was John.
I mean, John, unless you know you look back and then you see the progression, but if. It's like a child saying, "Mama, I haven't grown," because he's looking at the little yardstick every day. Yet, if he waits 6 months or a year, then he stands up against that wall where the yardstick is, and he sees he's grown. So, you know, we just don't know that. We just don't. We can't measure it. And I, you know, that little book that I loaned to Addie. And that now Connie ordered, and Julie has a copy, and I'm rereading it after 25 years. And it's called Freedom from Finding the God-Dependent Life.
Why?
And it, by Joni Yoder, Yoder. And you can get it at Thrift Books, probably any place else on Amazon, for those who are listening. And it is such a wonderful testimony, because really, isn't it a testimony of this process? Because she's in terrible bondage, and I won't go into detail, but it's just her biography, and it's so edifying. And she's just in real bondage, and she turns to the... He actually says, "Why don't you let me change you?" Because she's ready to cut this page out of her Bible about getting burned out for God. And he stops her with the scissors and says, "Let me change you." In other words, this self-effort, you know. Because that's all that song really is about, "Let me burn out for you." You know, that's not the Lord's intention. And I'm at the point now where she's really been getting back to basics. You know, seeking the Lord, obeying, trusting, and he's doing the rest of the work. And so as she reevaluates where she's come from and she sees her life, wow, she's beginning to reach out to neighbor ladies. She's getting out from herself. She's living from his life, just like what you were sharing with us today from the Word. And I don't know, maybe Dan, you'll remember who said this, because we've read it years ago, that maturity or freedom is a heart at leisure from itself. I don't know if it was Amy Carmichael. Don't you remember that phrase? A heart at leisure from itself. Because what makes us miserable? Ourselves. You know? Or other people, but it basically comes back to ourselves. But that heart that's at leisure from itself, and I think the only way for that is for Jesus Christ to be living his life through us, and for us to be more concerned about doing his will than our own. And so I would really recommend that wonderful little biography. And she was dependent on tranquilizers. She took 3 tranquilizers a day because she had this agoraphobia, which is a fear of leaving the house. And so she began taking tranquilizers. And there was a point at which she'd ask the Lord, "Make me whole so that I can help others." And so as she began just seeking the Lord, obeying him, getting back, just keeping focused on him, and doing what he instructed her to do, like reaching out to these ladies, she began to go free. And as you know, as she looked back on it, she saw it was just a matter of following him and depending on him and trusting his life within her. It's a process.
Oops.
read Watchman Nee, and the person who he Watchman Nee was talking about that, you know, because Christ says that apart from me you can do nothing, and this man says, I can do many things apart from Christ. And so those words always ruminate in my mind. Oh, yeah. I can do many things apart from Christ.
But they're nothing.
Yeah, but they are nothing. It's true. And so, but they resulted nothing. So what does that really mean?
That's what he said, actually.
Yeah, I can do nothing apart from Christ. And it's like, well, no. And then when he said that, I thought, oh, that's true. How many things each day that I really do apart from Christ? But see, that then, you know, we can get all in the law about that as well. But then there is that, in a sense, a relaxation of you know, Paul said that through the law I died to the law, that I even lived to God. Even a Christian law that says I can do nothing apart from Christ. You know, we can't even do that. We can't even fulfill that. And so there comes a point, I think, to where we just really rest and say, okay, God, this is your work. And the words of I have been crucified with Christ, and that's a faith thing. It is no longer I who live, but Christ lives in me. And, you know, reading that at the beginning of a Christian journey, it's like, oh, yeah, I'm in the zealousness. And now I think going deeper and deeper into the cross, as the cross comes deeper in, it's like, whoa, okay. I know today a little bit more of what that means than I did last year. And I can look back and say, wow, yeah, okay. There were things that I was doing apart from Christ, but I didn't know. And so he shows us, and that really is a rest position of Lord, this is my heart's desire, and I'm going to just, like Major said, I'm just going to let you do it.
Yeah, I think too, is that what you did a year ago apart from Christ, you've discovered since then that you can no longer do it apart from Christ.
Yeah.
See, that's how you know you're growing. Did you ask? Okay. Anybody else? Just a couple verses. You had sent me a number of questions. I'm still willing to go through those with you. John says in 1 John 4:17, by this, this is in 1 John chapter 4 and verse 17, by this love is perfected with us, that we may have confidence in the day of judgment. That means we're all going to stand before the bema seat of Christ. This is not the great white throne judgment. Those are for sinners. This is an assessment. This is the judgment of the measure of Christ formed in each believer and the works of God that have been done through that believer. The fruit. I desire that you bear much fruit and your fruit would remain. Says that in John 15. So in the day of judgment, now notice, as he is, so also are we in the world. That's the Christian life. As he is, what is he? Who is he? He's Jesus. He's the right hand of the Father. He lives out. He lives by the power of God, 2 Corinthians 13:4. He doesn't live in his resurrected and glorified state. He doesn't live out from the source of himself as the glorified man. The Father, through the Holy Spirit, is still his source. He lives by, literally, out from the power of God, Jesus. Again, 2 Corinthians 13:4. So as he is in resurrection, living by the power of God, so also are we in the world. He's just speaking what's normal. We're in the world. He was in the world. He lived by the Father. Now he's in heaven. We live by him. As he is, so are we in the world. See? Verse 17. And then, of course, when he was on earth, the Holy Spirit was the power. You know, we know from Luke 4 that when he was led by the Holy Spirit in the wilderness to be tempted by the devil. So, being full of the Holy Spirit, that's how he began. He came out of the wilderness after being tempted by the devil in the power of the Holy Spirit. That's Luke 4. Full power. There's something has to happen for that which is being full results in coming to represent power. And that meant a reduction, that meant a testing, that meant the enemy would sift him, and he stood by, not by man, not, he didn't stand on by natural food, but by every word that proceeds out of the mouth of God. So in resurrection, you know, he not only lives by the power of God, but he has become a high priest according to the power of an indestructible life. Hebrews 7:16. So the indestructible life, there was that which was physical life that was destroyed, that could die. His spiritual life as the second man did not die on the cross. I mean, in the sense that that is indestructible. He physically went into death, spiritual death is there, but that second man, the integrity of that second man, even though all that he is being made sin, cannot be destroyed. So there's something in there, in that place of death, that God in righteousness, it would demand that he be raised from the dead. He had to be raised from the dead. And so he's now, as a high priest, he's in the power of an indestructible life. That's Hebrews 7:16. Indestructible life. So if that person, Jesus Christ, is in us, yes, we could die physically, but that in us that is in union with Christ, who is the power of an indestructible life, then the only thing that can be martyred in our life is our physical bodies. There's no way that any believer following the Lord can die apart from the hand of God. It's not possible. You cannot. You don't have to be afraid of death. Like someone puts a knife to your neck like that, if something ever happened again, I'd say, well, what's stopping you from doing it? See? What's stopping you? Go for it. I've seen it happen. I've had that happen before. Okay? I've had a professionally sharpened knife right to my throat with a demon-possessed individual right in front of me, like this, shaking and glaring. And I said, well, so the name of Jesus Christ, get out of my face. He didn't move. And I said, okay, Lord Jesus Christ, you be glorified. 20 feet away without me even seeing it happen. So, Jesus, they tried to take him, tried to throw him off the cliff, and all these different things. They tried to apprehend him, they tried to kill him, but he escaped from their midst. Why? For mine hour had not yet come. My hour had not come. This Christ that lives in each one of you has an hour in which he in you no longer will live in this mortal body, but he calls you home, or there'll be a rapture. No one, no man can change his hour in you. So to live in fear, it's natural to be fear of death, but Jesus says the one who lives and believes in me will never die. In fact, he said in John chapter 5, the one who has believed in me has permanently passed out of death into life. I'm the resurrection and the life. Do you believe this? He who goes on living and believing in me shall never die. Do you believe this? He says. So, I think our problem is that we don't know what faith is. I think, you know, for me, faith is I'm either actively appropriating and receiving Jesus Christ in any given situation that's beyond my capacity to deal with. I'm either receiving him, or I'm wallowing in the muck of an old, dead, crucified humanity, where there's no grace. God has no pity when I am wallowing in the old man. Oh, God, deliver me from all this that represents what I'm in Adam. He doesn't ever answer that prayer. Never answers it. He only answers prayer on the other side of the cross in resurrection union with Jesus Christ. He's not going to answer prayer on that which is dead to him on the other side of the cross. Why should he? God would be a hypocrite. He can't be a hypocrite. He's not going to give us aid in who we are in Adam on the other side of that cross. He is utterly committed for us to transition from what we are from the first man to the second man. Out of that first Adam into who Jesus Christ as the last Adam became in resurrection as the second man, the Lord from heaven. So anything else? Any other thoughts? Well, Father, we give you thanks for Jesus himself, the one who has perfected everything, perfected as man everything. The man, the one who's made perfect forever, the one who's perfected through sufferings, the one who learned obedience to the things he suffered and therefore is perfected forever. So we thank you that he, as the second man, had to be a perfected in the process of sanctification. And he never knew anything about sin until he, as our vicarious sufferer on that cross, became sin in our place, that we might become the righteousness of God in him. So we thank you for that, Father, in Jesus' name.